It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
That seems to me like government is establishing a religion.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
If you give people rights, women's rights, gay rights, whatever, there can't be equal rights if there's special rights.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
Surveys show that people still really prefer freedom versus force.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed. Let's have a conversation. Welcome to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's kimmunson.com, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And podcasts of the shows and all of our recaps are found at the website as well. We'd appreciate it if you go over to Facebook and give us a like and sign up for our weekly newsletter. And you can do that at the website, kimmunson.com. Great show planned for you today. We'll be talking with Chris Cantwell, Transworld Business Advisors. He's in the business of buying and sell, helping people buy and sell opportunity. Sue Moore with the Republican Liberty Caucus of Colorado will join us in the second segment to give us a rundown on the scorecard on how these legislators did regarding freedom. And, you know, freedom and independence, that's something that we like. And we just celebrated that this last weekend. And we need to protect it. And then in the third and fourth segment, Brigitte Gabriel, you know her. She's the chairman of Act for America, which is the nation's premier national security organization, has over a million members. She's also a New York Times bestselling author of three books. Her latest bestseller is Rise. And we'll chat with her about defending the police, not defunding the police. And so that'll be a great conversation as well. Couple of things. First of all, last week we had Professor Joshua Dunn on last week to talk about de Tocqueville. And there is this quote that both Steve and I just love about America, that America is great because America is good. And if America ceases to be good, she will cease to be great. And I've always thought that de Tocqueville had that in his book, Democracy for America. But Patty and I were talking about it, and she said, you know, a professor of her son's said that de Tocqueville never said that. And I had looked, and I saw those that attributed the quote to him, those that didn't. And so I called Joshua Dunn and asked him, and he said no. So that's pretty... And we needed to clarify that Steve, because for all this time, I thought that de Tocqueville had given that quote.
Yeah, it was kind of real. It took the wind out of my sails when you just shared that a few minutes ago. I thought, well, wait a minute. I mean, that was what drew me to de Tocqueville, was that particular quote. So, bummer.
I know, but it is an important quote. And then he has a lot of important quotes there, but that one, I guess, is just one that people attributed to him. They must have thought that's something that he would say. So we did want to clarify that.
Doesn't change the fact that who he was, the fact that, you know, from my understanding, he was basically so enamored with the United States and this experiment that it was in self-governance. So, you know, he's still my a big hero of mine, let's put it that way.
Yeah, you and I both need to read Democracy in America, I think. I think a lot of people need to read that. So it's about 800 pages. We won't get that done here real soon, Steve. We've got a lot going on. But one other thing I wanted to mention, Tom Petrie said, you know, when I sign off, I always say, you know, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music. And he said, down at the Denver Art Museum right now, there is an excellent, beautiful display of artworks of Winslow Homer and Frederick Remington. And he said it is absolutely beautiful and inspiring for the American idea. So I wanted to mention that as well. As we look at these issues out there, we need to put on our thinking caps. And just as we go through these headlines, as Rudyard Kipling, who is the author of The Jungle Book, said, he said, "I keep six honest serving men. They taught me all I knew. Their names are what and why and when and how and where are who and who." And many folks are not looking at things with their thinking caps on. And one of the first headlines, well, let's see here. I think it's the second, third. Okay. This is, it's the fourth one, Steve. It says, this is from Senator Kevin Lundberg on a Facebook posting on Sunday. And this is actually senators, former state senators Ted Harvey, Ken Lampert, Kevin Lundberg, Scott Renfro, and David Schultheis. They said, when the monument honoring Colorado Civil War Union soldiers was torn down last week at the state capitol, Governor Polis issued the following statement. He said, I am outraged at the damage to a statue that commemorates the Union heroes of the Civil War who fought and lost their lives to end slavery. This statue will be repaired, and we will use every tool at our disposal to work with the Denver police and to hold accountable those responsible for the damage, whether they are, and this is what is so interesting, hooligans, white supremacists, Confederate sympathizers, or drunk teenagers. They said, really? For Governor Polis to suggest it was anyone except the Antifa revolutionaries or their sympathizers is absurd. But this is, you know, this is what we see, some very interesting and subtle doublespeak. Instead of actually blame at the people that did it, they are fomenting these other words. Then that you see that throughout the mainstream media, because it gives you the idea that it was somebody other than the people that really did it, and it foments that. And that is, it's just a very interesting doublespeak. And I really am pleased that Senator Kevin Lundberg posted that, Steve.
I am too, because, you know, the article goes on to talk about what has and what has not been done in terms of keeping the Capitol area policed properly. And the fact that a lot of situations here seem to suggest that the governor has been basically turning the other, you know, looking the other way, I guess, let's say, and sets the stage for this kind of baloney to happen in the first place.
Well, and so that goes to our quotes. We'll be talking about rule of law, and I don't know for sure who said this, but it's a very important quote, and it says, rule of law encourages true hope, and it discourages false hopes. And we're talking about the rule of law, of constitutional law, of the American idea. Laws that are steeped in this idea that all men are created equal with these unalienable rights from God of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. That is the vision. That is the law that we need to be protecting. The Constitution was put in place to protect those visions. And so there is constitutional law, which is, again, the rule of law, when it's fair, when it's impartial, and when it follows the Constitution, it encourages true hope, and it discourages false hope, Steve.
You know, I said this before. I'm former military. I took an oath in terms of defending the Constitution against enemies, foreign and domestic. And I share with you, at that young age of 19, I guess it was, domestic enemies, you know, obviously all our enemies are foreign. We don't have any domestic enemies. Well, in the time since, I have learned that we do, and that they seem to be growing.
Mm-hmm. I remember my father talked with me about that as well, and I had the same thought. It's like, domestic enemies, who would not love this country? But my gosh, we are seeing, you know, the veil is off. And we have clear decisions in this next election, and that is are we going to vote for creativity, innovation, independence, and freedom, or are we going to vote for destruction? And when you and I were preparing to get on the air, you said that Biden recently said he's going to transform America. Well, we've heard that before. And transform it to what? To rioting in the streets? To tearing down our history? I mean, it's just astounding to me, Steve. So we need to continue to understand that we have this clear decision. They're trying to muddle it and trying to create chaos and confusion. But there is a clear decision, and that is destruction or prosperity. And speaking of prosperity, we have on the line with us Chris Cantwell with Trans World Business Advisors. Chris Cantwell, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Kim. How are you doing today?
I am doing well. And we haven't talked to you for a couple of weeks, and things change quickly. What is going on in your world?
Yeah. Well, a couple of different things I want to cover today. One would be for those current business owners that are maybe thinking about selling down the road, and down the road might be in the next few years. Maybe it's 2 years, maybe it's 3 years. We can even work as close as six months to a year and a half down the road. We've got a program called the Exit Factor, and what that is it's a prep-to-sell program, and we kind of break it down into four different categories. One is really understanding the market. Two is eliminating the deal killers that tend to kill deals when we try to sell a business. Number three, we drive more value to your business. How can you get the most money when you go to sell? And then four is just the positioning of your company. The market really decides what these businesses are worth. And while cash flow is typically the main focus on where the valuation comes from, there's other elements of the deal that can make your business more valuable. So if you've got an exit in sight, you think you're going to be bringing your business to market, give me a call and I'm happy to kind of walk you through some of that. And we can talk about this particular program and how it works, or just give you a general feel for where you are today and where you need to be in a couple of years down the road. And then for business buyers, I just got an updated list earlier this week on all of our listings for sale. And we've got it in a spreadsheet format where you can go in and you can search by listing price. You could search by industry. You could search by cash flow. And really get a feel for what we're carrying right now in terms of businesses that are for sale out there. And I'm looking at this list, and we've got businesses for as low as $10,000 and as high as $5.7 million. So quite a range of different businesses out there. And if you're ready to go be an entrepreneur and go out and live the dream of entrepreneurship, we've got the opportunities for you.
And Chris Cantwell, how can people access that list?
Yeah, they can call me directly at 844-SELL-BIZ, B-I-Z, 844-SELL-BIZ, or find all my contact information on your website, KimMunson.com.
Okay, fantastic. And just one other quick question. With all the stuff that's been happening out there, the Small Business Administration has some additional help if people want to buy a business right now, correct?
Absolutely. It's a good time to buy. And if you can purchase a business using an SBA loan before September 27th as part of the CARES Act, the Small Business Association will be making your first 6 months of payments for you. It's a great way to build up some working capital after just making an acquisition. But you got to move fast. It takes probably 8 weeks or so to get these SBA deals processed and done. So If you're actively looking right now, see what you can do to get something done probably here before the end of July to be able to make sure you make that deadline.
Yes, I know September sounds like it's a long ways away, but now that we're past the Independence Day, it's right around the corner. So again, you can get all of Chris's information at my website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com, or you can call Chris at 844-SELL-BIZ. That's 844-SELL-BIZ. Chris Cantwell, thanks so much. We'll talk to you next week.
Have a great day, Kim.
Okay, before we go to break, another great business and a great partner of mine is Hooters Restaurants, and they're taking every precaution possible to make sure that it's safe to go in and dine. They have their social distancing. All of their team members are wearing masks. The team members will have their temperatures taken before every shift, and they do an hourly disinfection. And Wednesdays are Wings Day, and, you know, I am finding that people, we're social beings. This whole coronavirus thing and the masks and all, it's just, you know, it's kind of wearing on people, but it's at least great to be able to go out and have some, you know, great hors d'oeuvres, some great wings. Hooters Restaurants is the place to do that. They have five locations, Loveland, Westminster, Aurora, Lone Tree, and Colorado Springs, and they're open for dine-in, to-go, delivery, or curbside service. So for more information, you can go to my website, or you can go to order.hooters.com, and we'll be right back.
Karen Levine has over 30 years in the real estate industry. The reaction to the COVID-19 Wuhan virus is presenting unprecedented and unpredictable opportunities and challenges in buying or selling your home. That is why you need to work with award-winning realtor Karen Levine. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine today at 303-877-7516. Karen's expertise will help guide you through this crazy real estate market. Call Karen Levine at 303-877-7516 today.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, KimMunson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
Hey, welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. You can sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. We'd appreciate it if you go over to Facebook and give us a like as well. On the line with me is Sue Moore. She is with the Republican Liberty Caucus of Colorado. And, you know, we've talked with her throughout this legislative session about what was going on. They now have actually put together their Liberty scorecard. So, Sue Moore, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Kim. I'm happy to be here.
So you guys have done a lot of work throughout this last legislative session, and you now have a scorecard. So tell our listeners what that's all about.
Okay. Excuse me. What I'd like to do first is just give a little bit of history on what we call the Liberty Scorecard. This is actually an effort that was started back in 2011 by an organization called Principles of Liberty, run by a couple, Rich and Lori Bratton. And they ran something very, very similar. In fact, we pretty much just copied everything off of them with their blessing. But what they did was they read the bills each week as they came through the legislature, and then they rated them either support or oppose, and compared their positions with those of each legislator, and then ran a scorecard. And they called it Principles of Liberty. So they ran that from 2011 until 2018 and did an amazing job with that, really had the respect of the legislators, and, you know, to a point where they would sometimes even call Rich and say, you know, I noticed you oppose this bill, you know, I kind of support it, what's your reasoning? And so, you know, there was a lot of back and forth, and we're starting to get a lot of that as well. But anyway, they ran that from 2011 to 2018, and then they decided to bolt from Colorado. They moved up to Wyoming and really left a void. And so as the Republican Liberty Caucus, we decided that was something that just should not be let to die. So it was totally in our wheelhouse. So we picked that up last year, ran a kind of an abbreviated scorecard after the legislative session closed down, did a pretty good job of that, you know, to the extent possible. But this year we really jumped on it and automated a lot of it. We bought some software that downloads all the bills every week and allows us to read them and put them in an order where we can add comments and yada yada. But anyway, so we it's pretty much the same methodology. We look at it through the same lens of individual rights, free markets, and limited government. We've got a spreadsheet that we use, a lot of questions that we discuss through these conference calls, and then we come up with our position. So that's kind of the evolution of the Liberty Scorecard. So you and I have talked each week about, you know, the bills that have come through and what's good and what's bad. Unfortunately, most of it's bad, but that, you know, how we've come about our rating. So, you know, the culmination of this now is this Liberty Scorecard that we've produced, and it's on our website. It's rlcco.org, and there's a drop-down. You can find the Liberty Scorecard there where it gives a grade, you know, A through F grade for each legislator, based on, you know, how well they agreed with our position. So the culmination of that is that we had three A's. Our top score was House Minority Leader Patrick Neville from House District 45. And as the top score, we awarded him the Goldwater Award. So I've already discussed this with him. He's extremely excited to be recognized for the really hard work that he's put into this session. And he really has gone above and beyond the call of duty. He's fought the leaders in the House and the Senate. He's fought with the governor. He actually was kind of on board with some of the governor's initial reactions after the COVID crisis started. And, you know, is trying to support him to the extent possible. But once the governor started overreaching and extending these executive orders, Patrick came back full force and started fighting against him. So anyway, he's a rock star. We just adore him. Thank God he'll be around for another session, another two-year session. So Patrick Neville is our Goldwater Award winner. There were two other A's, which are really hard to get, and we call them our Liberty Warriors. And those two people are Steve Humphrey in House District 48. He's up in Weld County. And then Shane Sandridge in House District 14. He's down in Colorado Springs. So So those are the three, you know, super top rock stars that we've awarded, you know, Liberty Warrior Awards to. And then we actually go down into the B range. There were four people in the house who scored a B grade. And again, our standards are extremely high, so it's tough to get these high grades. So we want to recognize the people who really fought hard for us. The four Bs were Lori Sane in House District 63, Kim Ransom in District 44, Terry Buck in House District 49, and Dave Williams in House District 15. So, you know, these people did yeoman's duty as well. Kim Ransom served on that Joint Budget Committee,
right,
which met during, yeah, and she just did an amazing job with what she had to work with. So, mm-hmm. Anyway, we want to recognize those people. They've really worked hard for us. Lori Sane and Perry Buck will be leaving. They're both moving on to, they were both elected to Weld County Commission. So, you know, we won't be seeing them next year, but fortunately they'll still be in, you know, serving the public in other positions. So we're happy to see that. Steve Humphrey, like I said, he was a Liberty Warrior. He's term limited, so he won't be back. Hopefully we'll see him somewhere in the future. But anyway, you know, I wanted to spend time today just to recognize those folks who really, really worked hard for us to protect our liberties in the state legislature this past session.
You know, they're under extreme pressure on these different bills that are out there. And you know, there's all kinds of interested parties that, you know, will push. You'll have your lobbyists, your interested parties, other politicians, bureaucrats that may be pushing a specific agenda that typically is an assault on freedom. And it takes a lot of fortitude to get these grades that you've given out. But, you know, it's a beautiful Liberty scorecard. I mean, it's so easy. You can go to it and you can see all of these different ratings here. And so we've talked about the really great ratings, but I see that there are some people that are like 18, 19. What does that mean exactly?
Well, it's not good, Kim. It's most of the Democrats were below, probably 35. I have to grab a scorecard here. And unfortunately, we had a lot of Republicans who scored F. So, you know, we put out the standards. We don't get squishy. We don't bend the rules. We don't grade on a curve. It is what it is. So, you know, and we try to get our positions out before these bills come up for a vote, so they know where we stand, and they know that we're not wobbly. So, yeah, sadly, a lot of Republicans got Fs. I'm not going to call out names. You can look at it for yourself on rlcco.org, like, where you can see the Liberty scorecard. But, you know, if you're a person who stands for individual rights, who's all about free markets and limited government, you know, these principles don't change. So, you know, sadly, you know, there are folks who claim that they're for free markets, but they don't vote that way. So we just, you know, we're not here to name and shame. We're just here to call it like it is. So if you want to see, and yeah, so, you know, the information is there. They can do with it what they will. You know, principles don't change. So.
Well, this is a lot of great work, yeah, that you have done on this. And you know, we were really surprised at just how aggressive this legislative session was regarding moving towards more government control and less freedom. I was a bit surprised that it was so aggressive.
It was sad, especially the last few weeks after the temporary adjournment. They came back in and they just kept ramming their agenda, even after they said that the, you know, whatever bills would be considered toward the end would be fast, friendly, and free. You know, that didn't last even a day. They started running bills they hadn't even considered in the first part of the session. So, yeah, there were some really horrible ones. The worst probably was the Tax Fairness Act, where they kind of decoupled the some of the tax exemptions and tax privileges from the federal ones that they passed for the CARES Act, and that these were meant for people who own small businesses who file as Schedule C, you know, LLCs, which a lot of small businesses do that, But it basically, you know, kind of added back on more tax burden to those kinds of businesses. And, at a time when we were trying to help people out, get businesses back on their feet. So it was especially heinous. But, we also have an article there on all of the good, the bad, and the just plain silly bills. So when you go to our website, you can look up all that information. Again, the website is rlcco.org, and it's all there. And, it was a tough year. We'll hope for better next year. We've still got good leadership, and we'll just keep on plugging along.
Well, it is an amazing thing that you've done here. So you can find this at rlcco.org. That's rlcco.org. And Sue Moore, thank you to you and your team for the time that you've put into this. This is an excellent tool that people can use as they're preparing to vote this next election cycle. So Sue Moore, thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Kim. We appreciate you as well.
Okay. You have a great day. And we're going to jump over here to Jason McBride, Presidential Wealth Management. Good morning, Jason.
Hey, Kim. Good morning to you.
How are you doing this morning?
Well, I'm very good. The markets have been on quite a move over the last few days. All three major indexes, Dow, NASDAQ, S&P, over the last five trading days have moved up 6 to 7%. Volume's been pretty decent. Looks like at least this morning, Kim, we're going to get a little bit of a pause on that. The futures are down a couple hundred points. But overall, I think the market's looking forward a little bit with some businesses reopening in the second quarter. I think there's some cautious hopefulness that some of the earnings numbers for Q2 may not be quite as bad as people were expecting, back going into the end of Q1. So we'll see what happens, but earnings will be starting to come out soon, and that'll give us an idea of what's really been going on in some areas of the economy.
Okay, so the earnings will be for the second quarter then, right?
Right, the quarter that just ended June 30th.
Okay, and when will those numbers, when will those earnings start to come out? Within the next week or how?
Usually Alcoa is the very first one to report. I don't know exactly what day they do it, but usually you start to see them come in, 2 to 3 weeks after the end of the quarter. So we'll start seeing a flood of them over the next 2 to 3 weeks, and should be interesting to see if they're coming in better or worse than expected.
Well, don't you think this particular earnings report will be a real barometer then of what happened to the economy during the whole COVID-19 thing? Because that's where we really shut things down, really, in that particular quarter, don't you think?
Yeah, I think, it's a kind of, the quarter's kind of a tale of two different economies, Kim. We in the first part of the quarter, it was aggressive shutdown. The second half of the quarter, we were starting to open things back up. So that was interesting. I think it'll also be, telling and helpful to see how much confidence these companies have in looking forward to the third quarter and out to the end of the year. Before we saw these flare-ups happen again, I think there may have been more willingness to, maybe make a little bit of a guess or a projection. With some of the flare-ups we've had, I think some of these companies are going to default back to what's safe, to say we don't know what's going to happen for the rest of the year, and the market doesn't like that type of uncertainty. So It bears watching, over the next few weeks, what do we get out of the numbers?
Well, and, if people would like to do just a little checkup on their portfolio, you and your colleagues over at Presidential Wealth Management, now's a great time with this this market going up again. This is always a good time to sit down and just kind of do that assessment, Jason McBride.
I agree. It's better to make decisions when you're not doing it from an emotional state or a panicked state. A lot of those type of decisions were getting made in March, near the bottom of the market. That's usually not the best time to do your best thinking when you're, you know, under fire, so to speak. Right now, I think you can remain calm and hopefully make some rational decisions.
Well, be sure and give Jason a call at 303-694-1600, 303-694-1600, or there's all kinds of great information at our landing page together, which is AIR, AIRpresidential.com. That's AIRpresidential.com. Jason, it's so great to talk to you. We'll talk to you again tomorrow morning.
All right, Kim, have a great show.
You bet. And we're going to go to break. When we come back, Brigitte Gabriel is on the line. We'll be talking with her about defending the police, not defunding the police. Stay tuned. This is a very important conversation for America.
Recently, rates in the mortgage market have hit near record lows. Lorne Levy with Polygon Financial notes that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has created potential opportunities to refinance your mortgage that could save you thousands of dollars. And for those senior listeners who may be looking for another source of income, exploring a reverse mortgage with Lorne Levy may be a solution. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lorne Levy has the experience to answer your questions. Call Lorne Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup today.
Now more than ever, it is important to have independent voices bringing truth and clarity to the issues facing us, our families, our communities, our state, our nation, and our world. The Kim Munson Show is one of those important voices. Kim is a truly independent entrepreneur. She purchases her broadcast time, which gives her total freedom in production of the show and scheduling of guests. If you'd like to support The Kim Munson Show, go to her website, Kim Munson, MONSON.com, and click on the contribute button under Kim's picture. Kim greatly appreciates your help and support.
Hey, welcome back to The Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That is KimMunson.com, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. You can email me at KimMunson.com as well. Go over to Facebook and give us a like. Thrilled to have on the line with me Brigitte Gabriel. You know her. She's the chairman of ACT for America, which is the nation's premier national security organization. They have over a million members. She is also a New York Times bestselling author of three books. Her latest bestseller is Rise. And she has begun something. She says we need to defend the police, not defund them. Brigitte Gabriel, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Kim. I'm delighted to be back with you.
Well, it's great to have you. And you're very well known. However, tell us just a little bit about you for those that may not know you yet, Brigitte Gabriel.
Well, I was born and raised in Lebanon, which used to be Paris of the Middle East. My 9/11 happened to me in 1975 when a radical Islamist blew up my home, bringing it down, burying me under the rubble, wounded. I ended up living for 7 years of my life in a bomb shelter from the age of 10 till the age of 17. Fighting to survive, and later I ended up moving to Israel and from Israel here to the United States. So I understand, Kim, what happens when the thugs take over your country, when people turn the blind eye to evil, thinking, well, it couldn't really get that bad. It'll never be get that bad. I mean, remember, Lebanon is a republic, exactly like the United States, which is very different than the rest of the countries in the Middle East. But the thugs used our democracy to topple our democracy. And right now, my country of birth, Lebanon, is run by the thugs. Hezbollah, the largest terrorist organization in the world, not only runs the government, they have elected themselves democratically into the government. So when I see what's happening in America right now, I see the writing on the wall, because my past is America's future unless Americans wake up now and stand up and make a difference for the country.
Well, you know, there's a quote that you can vote yourself into socialism, but you have to shoot your way out of this. And, you know, I'm not advocating, you know, shooting our way out of it right now. But we are at a very precarious time in our country, Brigitte Gabriel, where people feel like they're safe in the suburbs, maybe, and that what is happening in our cities is not going to, you know, go out into the suburbs and out into rural America. But it seems to me that that is almost ostrich in the sand thinking.
It is, because look, when you look around the country, Kim, it's already spreading into the suburbs. I mean, look at the couple in Kentucky, in St. Louis, Missouri, that they broke their gates and the thugs went into their lawn. So we are looking at them feeling more empowered. You know, it's like appeasing a bully. The more you appease a bully, the more that bully wants. You know, first they come after your sandwich. You give them the sandwich thinking that will appease the bully. Then all of a sudden the bully not only wants your sandwich, like he did the first week and you gave it to him, but that bully now wants your money. Get out your wallet. I not only want your sandwich, but I want your money because I want to take your money and go out and buy goodies. And then they want more money. And then it just spirals out of that. And when I see what's happening with our police officers nationwide with this whole notion to, quote, defund the police, which is insane, and we are seeing the results right now. But that's exactly why I tell people, those of you who are sitting on the sideline, now is the time to stand up and take action. And we're not talking about, you know, we don't want to see, you know, we're not talking about shooting in the streets. But look, people, citizens can exercise their democratic right by expressing their freedom of speech, calling their elected officials. We make it easy for you. My organization, Act for America, we launched a nationwide campaign to defend the police. There's a petition on our website. If you go to actforamerica.org, on our homepage, there's a petition to defend the police, not defund the police, where you enter your zip code, no matter where you are in the country, we give you the names of your city council members, every single one of them, the name of your mayor. We have a pre-written letter for you that you can send with the click of a button from the privacy of your home, sitting in your pajamas, sipping a cup of coffee. And you can tell them, do not defund our police department. We stand with law and order. We want to make sure there's law and order in our community. Your elected officials need to hear from you, because I tell you what, the left is bombarding them with calls calling to defund the police. We need to empower our law enforcement to be able to stand up and defend our communities. I mean, look, Kim, look what happened in Aurora recently, over the weekend.
Yes.
When you have police officers trapped in their district, trapped in their building, where if you or I made a call, if we lived in that district and we made a call, the police could not even get to us because the thugs who and by the way, they're not protesters, they are thugs. When they chain the doors and block police officers from leaving, block their cars from leaving the building. So if you and I make a phone call, if God forbid there's an emergency and we live in that district, that police could not get to us to save our lives. So we are dealing with thugs who are creating mayhem in the community, and they are feeling empowered when the police does not do anything to stand up to the thugs. As a matter of fact, one of the thugs who was interviewed in the situation in Aurora said, we kind of see this as an accomplishment. They backed down. Remember, accomplishment. They back down. We need the police to stand up and fight, and we need our people to stand up with the police and defend law and order. Otherwise, it's coming to your neighborhood, and when you need to call 911, no one's going to come to save you. So you better act today.
Well, and to that point, right after Memorial Day, I was downtown here in Denver, and the protesters were beginning to assemble. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I was actually pretty surprised that a lot of the protesters at that time looked like suburban kids, just out on a lark. I was a bit surprised with that. But I, for the first time when I was in downtown Denver, I didn't feel totally safe. And I thought, if something happens, Brigitte, I'm not sure that the police would be able to come and help me. I've never felt like that before in my country.
Right. And that's the scary part, because we do need the police. We do need law and order. You and I, Kim, I do not want to be in my home at 2 o'clock in the morning and hear a thug in my home, a robber who broke into my home, walking to my bedroom. I want to be able to call 911 and frantically call the police to show up. I don't want to hear a therapist on the other line saying, oh, just wait until they get to your bedroom and then give me the phone so I can, talk them off off a ledge. I don't want to hear that. I want to hear the police are on their way, ma'am. Don't worry. We'll be there any minute now. You know, we're coming. That's what me, you, and everybody wants to hear when we have a robber in our home or whatever situation. And again, we are not dealing with peaceful protesters. This whole peaceful protester nonsense is baloney. When you're dealing with people who physically wrapped ropes and other items around the doors of the District 1 station and around entry and exit gates to, so the patrol cars cannot come out. They chained the doors from the outside. They barricaded streets with anything they could find. They had gas cans full of gasoline that were staged in that immediate area. Those are not peaceful protesters expressing their point of view. Those are thugs. Those are criminals trying to create mayhem in the community, disturbing the peace. And this is why we need to recognize we are now witnessing a Marxist revolution happening in our country. And you've got young American brats who have had such a privileged life, who went to good colleges, and like you said, they look like suburban kids, are now feeling that they need to do something, and they are taking to the street. And right now, Kim, people like you and me and our listeners right now, we are the first line of defense and the last line of defense. We need law and order. We need to become engaged and involved. And this is exactly why we at Act for America launched our nationwide petition to stand with the police. And also, we are organizing Back the Blue events nationwide. If you want to organize a Back the Blue event in your community, email us, go to actforamerica.org. And send us an email. Sign up to get our emails and action alerts. Sign up as an activist. We send you information about bills coming down for a vote where you can make your voice heard. We need you engaged. Go to actforamerica.org and get involved.
Well, most definitely. And I have been so surprised, Brigitte Gabriel, at the lack of a backbone by local elected officials, how quiet they are. And instead of saying, you know what, we represent our community. We are here to make sure that our communities have law and order. A quote that I said at the very beginning of the show, and I'm not sure who said this, but it says the rule of law, and we're talking about the constitutional, you know, the American idea. The rule of law encourages true hope. And it discourages false hopes. And so for people to be able to go after their hopes and dreams, we have to have the rule of law. And so, Brigitte Gabriel, let's go to break. I want to continue to talk with you about what happened out in Aurora. It is astounding to me that, I mean, what would have happened if in fact, you know, a fire had occurred or something at this District 1 substation. So let's go to break. This is Kim Munson. I'm talking with Brigitte Gabriel, the founder of Act for America. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Predovich & Company understands that the COVID-19 Wuhan virus disruption has individuals and businesses scratching their heads with a variety of bookkeeping, tax planning, and accounting questions. Predovich & Company knows that you need trusted professionals to help you navigate these choppy waters. Kim Munson highly recommends Predovich & Company. Because of their advanced technological capabilities, Predovich & Company can help clients anywhere in the United States. Call Predovich & Company at 303-791-3000 to organize your personal and business finances. Call 303-791-3000 today.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. You can sign up for our weekly newsletter there. And go over to Facebook and give us a like as well. On the line with me is Brigitte Gabriel. She is the chairman of Act for America, which is the nation's premier national security organization. They have over a million members. She is also a New York Times bestselling author of three books. Her latest bestseller is Rise. Now, Brigitte Gabriel, we talk on the show a lot about asking the critical thinking questions. Rudyard Kipling, who wrote The Jungle Book, says, "I keep six honest serving men. They taught me all I knew. Their names are what and why and when and how and where and who." So, Brigitte, as we go over to this this article from KDVR.com that explains what happened out at the Aurora substation, where, let's think about it, police officers were chained inside the substation. And you mentioned that there had been staged, there were full gas cans of fuel. And that doesn't look to me like somebody's up to any good. Your thoughts on that? How can that happen? Why was there full gas cans near there? How is it that our police officers were chained inside that building for 7 hours? What is going on?
Because this is the true picture of what we are seeing in the country right now. We're not seeing peaceful protesters, Kim. We are seeing thugs who are imposing a Marxist revolution as we are watching events unfold live in our communities, in every community all throughout the United States. This is not just happening in Aurora. This is happening nationwide. Peaceful protesters are people who show up from 12 to 2. Like when we organize peaceful protesters, we say, okay, meet us. There's going to be a rally at City Hall between 12 and 2. Wear comfortable clothes. Make signs. Express your point of views on your sign. Gather peacefully. Make sure you bring water. You usually get some speakers who stand up and speak up about, you know, important issues you care about. That is a peaceful rally. Everybody speaks. You have few speakers. They have a microphone. They have a podium. They express their view. And 2 hours later, they leave. They clean up after themselves. That's a peaceful protest or a peaceful march, where you march down the street holding signs, homemade signs that you made, expressing what you are standing for. That's peaceful protests. Showing up in masks, showing up in guns, showing up in black leather from head to toe, showing up with already pre-stashed either bricks that you can throw at the police or gas cans filled with gasoline. Basically, you're making a Molotov cocktail that you're getting ready to throw on the police station and set it on fire. What if they did that and the police station was set on fire and the police officers are trapped inside with all their doors chained? They cannot escape. They're either going to die of smoke inhalation on the inside, or if they try to escape, they're going to be hurt on the outside. Is this really what we want in our community? And to hear that the police chiefs and the leaders are still calling these protesters peaceful protest, I have a message for the police in Aurora. Get your head out of the sand and start realizing what you are dealing with, because right now, the more you bury your head in the sand, you're making a big fat target out of your behind. You have thugs who want to kill you, who want to destroy you, who hate you, who are causing problems in the community, and you need to stand up. But I also, Kim, I one important point I want to make, because before we went on the last break, you said, we're not hearing anything from the city council, from the elected leaders, from the mayors. We're not hearing anything. You're surprised as to the lack of courage on their part. But here's the reason why we're not hearing anything from them, because they are bombarded with the emails and phone calls from the left. See, our people sit on the sidelines and shake their head, and we expect our elected leaders to have a backbone. After all, that's why people elect them. But right now, you know, they say squeaky wheel gets the oil. And the only people squeaking right now are the radicals on the left, who are very emotional, who are very hormonal, who are not thinking logically, who are yelling and hollering and calling and writing emails. That's why we want our people to put the same pressure on those city council members and the mayors and the elected officials like the left does. And that's why we made it very easy on our website, where you go to actforamerica.org, enter your zip code, no matter where you live right now, near Aurora, in Colorado, and anywhere in that area. Enter your zip code. We give you the names of your city council members, pre-written letter for them. You can send it with the click of a button. They need to hear from you.
You know, it is really important. I did serve on city council for 4 years in my in where I live, and it is totally true that there are people that are always, you know, kind of interested parties that are always contacting city council people and mayors to get their agendas across. And you're absolutely right. You know, everyday people, they're busy with their lives. Things seem to be going just fine, and so they don't really do anything about it. The veil is now off on what has been percolating underneath the surface for many years. And I wanted to make a point. I'm sure you're aware of this, Brigitte Gabrielle, but if you go to Black Lives Matter, the official website, and you click the donate button, it goes to Act Blue. And Act Blue is the big Democrat fundraising machine. They've raised $5.2 billion. Of course, Democrats opine that they want to get big money out of elections. But what they say and what they do are two different things. So, you know, what happened with George Floyd is, you know, just heartbreaking. And those police officers need to be brought to justice through due process. And that is the American system. But again, the veil is off now. This is being used as a big fundraising arm for the Democrat Party. And they are the ones that are fomenting all of this division and this destruction. And we've talked a little bit about mayors and city councils. Mayors and city councils hire the police chief. And the police chief is the one who then, you know, puts in policy for the police forces. So these cities like Minneapolis, that where this occurred, that has been a Democrat stronghold for a long time. That is where the responsibility should go. Your comments on that, Brigitte?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the Democrats do not care about Black lives. I mean, when I was watching what happened in the country over the weekend, Kim, all of us, we are horrified to hear the stories of the killing, especially the young children that died this weekend. I'm a mother. It breaks my heart. We do not want to see a parent go through any experience of their child, you know, being extremely hurt, let alone dead. I would lose my mind if anything happened to my children. So the Black community does not want to see this happening because it's the Black community that's paying the price. And Democrat, and it right is. Now what we saw this weekend is Black-on-Black killing. This had nothing to do with the police. This is not George Floyd. This is Black-on-Black murder where they look at each other like ants. I mean, I watched that video of that poor man walking back his daughter, I think in Bronx, New York, walking his daughter across the sidewalk from school, holding her hand in one hand and her backpack in one hand, and then a car pulled up point blank and shot him where he dropped dead, and the poor little girl running around screaming. She didn't know where to go, where to run. Nobody wants to see these pictures, and these pictures are thugs on thugs killing, Black on Black killing that has absolutely nothing with the police or police brutality. But the Democratic Party could care less about Black lives, who really should matter, like the Black lives of the innocent who are paying the price in this chaos. Because if the police is taken away from the inner cities, it's the poor people in the inner cities who hurt. It's the minorities who are hurt. It's not the people, the rich people, the mayors, and all these people that make the decisions who live in the suburb. And it's not until the mayor is attacked by the thug, like what happened in Seattle, that finally the lefty mayor all of a sudden decided, we need law and order. And you know what I believe? I believe we're looking now at, you know, city council members and mayors who have police protection, even though they're voting to defund the police. I believe in every community, every elected official who votes to defund the police should not be entitled to taxpayers paying for them to have police protection.
Oh, most definitely. The other thing about it is that is happening, and we have just a few minutes, is that even though they may not defund the police, with all this that's going on, many police officers are looking at getting into a different profession. So, you know, we're losing our police officers because of what is going on as well. And we need to, as you say, we need to make sure that we you know, have police protection, that we have law and order, and those police officers who are bad police officers need to be brought to justice. So what's your final thoughts on this, Brigitte Gabrielle?
Look, I don't blame police officers for wanting to get out. I mean, talk about a thankless profession. They lay their life on the line for people every single day. You know, police officers leave their home every day not knowing if they're going to come back alive or dead, or whether it's the last time they see their family. No other profession. If you are a lawyer, a doctor, an engineer, a janitor, an accountant, an account executive, it doesn't matter what you do. You don't have to think twice when you leave your home that I may not come back to hug my child or my wife or my husband, for that matter, because we have female police officers. You don't have to think like that. Police officers have to go to through this every time they leave their home. So I don't blame them watching what's happening in the country for them to say, forget it, I am out. Why would I want to do that? For such little money, by the way, you know, they are so underpaid, our police officers, for what they do. So yes, we are having a crisis. You know, actually, we began having a crisis right after 2016 when the whole riots and the Ferguson and all that stuff started, and especially after Charlottesville. But now we're getting to the pinnacle point. Right now, it's the tipping point. And that's why we are seeing a lot of them exit the police force. And look, our country is going to pay a price. We, our safety is going to pay the price. And that's why I say we need now for good people to stand up and speak up. Make the phone calls to your local city council members. Make the phone calls to your mayors. If you do not want to call them on the phone, send them an email. We make it so easy for you. Organize groups in your community that think the way you do. Start a group. Start an Act for America group in your community. Organize a Back the Blue event. It doesn't mean a rally. You can organize a group baking cookies and taking baskets to police officers in different precincts, sitting together with your friends and neighbors, writing thank you letters that you can deliver to your police precincts, letting them know how much we appreciate their service to our community. There are many things you can do. We give you a ton of ideas. Get involved. Go to actforamerica.org. If you want to start an event in your community, let us know you want to start and organize an event. If you want to join an event, let us know. We're organizing now events nationwide.
Fantastic. Fantastic, Brigitte Gabrielle. And that is, go to actforamerica.org and you can sign up there. And so our quote for today is Dwight D. Eisenhower. He said, the clearest way to show what the rule of law means to us in everyday life is to recall what has happened when there is no rule of law. So today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you, and God bless America.
Views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ Management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.
KLZ AM HD Denver, the source AM and FM. AM 560 and 100.7 FM. 560thesource.com.